Thanks for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk, where we talk about everything under the sun. You never know quite what you're going to get, but you'll always be entertained.
Hello, and welcome to CC and Doc Talk. Today, I'm going to surprise CC with another new question, just off the cuff, and see what we come up with.
These are right in the middle of coffee hour. I haven't even finished the whole cup yet. Look out. Oh, it's only half caffeine anyway, so that's not really... Okay, never mind.
Okay, moving on. I can see where this is going to go already. Focus, 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 focus. All right. What does being a respectful friend look like? You know, like firefly type friend or just casual friend, lifetime friend. But really what it comes down to is, what is a respectful friend? What do they behave? What does it look like in action? It's easy to do the disrespectful part, right?
Right.
And I'm stumbling with my words there. Disrespectful part.
Yes. So I understand where this is coming from, because we have a friend whom we love dearly, and we do feel like sometimes she gets taken advantage of, or that people don't always appreciate all that she puts into things, right?
Yeah.
And so, so I think that's a good question. Like, what was the question? What makes a respectful friend or a respectful friendship?
Yeah.
So I think first and foremost, you know, obviously, I think it's really important that when people do nice things for you, to recognize them for that. When people put effort into things, it's important to recognize them for that. And honestly, sometimes I'm like, how long have you known these people? They know that you're going to go all out. Like, I understand that maybe they aren't seeing the preparations happening, but they know if they know her, they know she's going to go all out to make it an amazing experience.
And they were nonchalant to whether they were going to show up or not, or if they're, and it's maybe some of us come, some of us won't, maybe next weekend, I don't know.
And they had no idea how much she was looking forward to it.
And how much she put into it.
Right.
And we're just like, wow.
It's just so rude.
It's rude, yeah, right? Totally. And because when we say we're going to be somewhere,
Barring any kind of
unforeseen circumstances,
right, or unless we leave it open and flexible, when we commit to showing up someplace, we show up,
yeah,
right. And so, and I know there were some other things happening in this case. It was a little bit of a herd mentality, so it was like, if so and so doesn't go, I'm not going to come either, and blah blah blah. Anyway, I have my own opinions about that. But okay, so let's go back to the original question. So what makes a respectful friend?
Or, like these lifelong friendships. So, some of them, you don't have to connect with the person on a regular basis.
Right.
And you know they're always there. You can just pick up the conversation where you left off 20 years ago, whatever it was, 5 years ago or last week. And you just take it from there. And it's just easy.
Right.
Right? So... And yet you don't want to take advantage of those friendships.
Right.
And I
will say, I love those friendships. Like the ones that I don't have to always be working at keeping it going and keeping it going and keeping it going, because I have a lot of long distance friends. We both do have a lot of long distance friendships. And I don't want to always feel obligated to be the one to reach out and send the text or the card or the this or the that. But I love it when, it's kind of a mutual thing. So it's like we both agree that, when we think about the other person, we'll send a text or a card or whatever. But if it doesn't happen, we're not going to be upset about it. We're not going to take it personally.
Right.
But then always be being open to when you get back together and reconnect. It's a lot like, you just left off. And so I do have friendships like that. And I appreciate those so much, because they really take the pressure off. Right.
Right.
But then there are also those friendships where that people really need that more frequent connection, right? Now, the question that comes about there, and you and I have brought this up a little bit, is, how much is the onus on us versus them to keep that connection? So like, if they're the ones that really need that more frequent connection, shouldn't they also be reciprocating in the connecting, right? So you and I have sat down a couple of times and we're like, gosh, we're thinking about so-and-so, and you and I, anytime we think about somebody, we often will send a text or whatever. But then sometimes we'll sit there and we'll go, when was the last time that person sent us a text? And it's not
we've actually reevaluated a few things along the way. I mean, I actually reevaluated one of our very mutual long-term friends, where we have said happy birthday to this person for 20 years and not once have they said happy birthday to either one of us or reached out with a text to say hi? And I'm like, okay, so is there any effort? Are we trying to keep something going that they don't want to keep going? Right. Or what's, you know, so it does make you reevaluate a few things.
And it doesn't mean that we're all pissy about it. It just means that we may not make as much effort going forward.
It's like, who are we doing it for at this point? Are we still doing it for us?
Right.
Or are we still doing it for them? Or is it, anyway.
Right.
So
I agree with that.
Yeah. So it does make you kind of reevaluate some things.
Well, and then I think too, you know, like during the cancer journey, there were a few friends of mine from truly like way back in my past who really stepped up and started communicating with me on a more regular basis. And I think in some ways I was really pleasantly surprised by that, and I was totally not expecting it. So now I've noticed that I've sort of shifted a little bit my perspective of, okay, maybe these are the people that I should be now, you know, checking in with. They did such a good job of checking in with me for a year and a half.
Right.
You know, maybe it's okay for me now to check in with them every once in a while and say, hey, how are you doing?
Right.
Because they were so focused on how I was doing for a while. So I think that's a really lovely way of reciprocation.
Or just that little text that says thinking of you.
Right. But I do think sometimes that the reciprocation or the reciprocity piece really gets people in trouble, right? And I think we're guilty of it too.
If I invite you over for dinner and make you a salad, you then feel obligated to make me a steak, and then I feel the next time obligated to make you a lobster dinner.
Right.
I mean, you know, we always try to one up. Where, you know, I guess if you go back to a respectful friend,
not in a competitive way, but in a I want to be kind and generous and a good friend way.
Yeah, but there's a lot of times where it does become competitive. But again, if we go back to what is a respectful friend,
right?
It doesn't have to be competitive. I mean, you could get together and have cheese and crackers,
right?
And you just dragged out of the kitchen,
right?
And you know, a bag of Doritos and a can of cheese,
right?
You know.
And going back to the friend that we started this conversation about, you know, the thing is, part of her love language is doing these things.
Acts of service,
right? Is to create beautiful decorations and to be able to, you know, put out, her and her husband both, you know, they want to put out a spread of food. They like to cook, or they, you know, she likes to bake.
Well, and the arrangements that they put out,
right,
just the party favors that, and she spends a lot of money.
And that's part of their love language.
It is her love language.
And so it's
not to impress, because these are lifelong friends.
Right, exactly. So yeah, to your point, it's not to impress, they're lifelong friends. But I think the challenge then becomes, you know, it's hard when that's your love language and other people are just like, oh, that's nice. Or, oh, I'll come.
I'm not sure if we're coming or not.
Right. After she spent a week preparing. So it's hard for us to watch sometimes her friends not
be disrespectful to
her. Yeah, to be disrespectful or to not give her the kudos and the accolades that
she deserves.
That she deserves. And honestly, probably that, you know, she needs a little bit. I mean, that feeds her some too, and that's okay, right? That's
right. We all need to be needed.
Right.
And, you know,
that's where she shines, and, you know, it's okay for her to want people to recognize that.
Well, and it's the same thing where, okay, another sign of disrespect, because again, it's easier to show disrespectful behaviors in friendships, is when you get together at a gathering, such as a wedding or an event or whatever it is, and there's still the cliques.
Right.
And when the cliques get together and the cliques are talking about all the things that they're doing.
That they did together.
That they did together and all the things that they're still going to do together. And, you know, you got another person who's sitting there that wasn't invited, wasn't included. And they have to sit and listen to how much of an outsider that they are, an outsider that they're feeling.
Yeah.
And how disrespectful these cliques are to really not paying. There's no inclusive behavior. And are they doing it, you know, maliciously with intention, or are they just that clueless? And and so, you know, I guess
probably
the
latter.
Of a respectful friend is to be aware of who's standing there in the group and monitor either the conversation so it's all inclusive. If you're going to talk about a future event coming up or a trip you're going on, if there's somebody that's sitting there, that's not the time to maybe talk about it.
Unless you're going to invite them, right?
And so, you know, just being mindful of who's there and that inclusive. I mean, this is, goes back to that, you know, inclusive environment.
Right. And I think because you and I are so focused on that inclusiveness, in part because, you know, we've always been facilitators, right? Standing up in front of a room, in front of, you know, however many people, and, you know, doing team buildings and all
the
these things. And so we, you know, we've always, always looked at, you know, how do you keep people included, whether it's participants in a class or whether it's members in a team working together and during an activity. So we are so focused on inclusiveness that I think it really stands out to us when people aren't that way. But then, you know, when we have conversations with people and they share these stories, like things that happen at weddings or events and how they're not included and how much it hurts them.
Right.
It's so painful. And you realize, to your point, I think it's the latter. I think sometimes people are just that clueless about the fact
we
that
we do the O symbol on our forehead every once in a while. And it's like oblivious.
Oblivious. Yes. So what suggestions do we have then for being maybe more, not just more attentive friends, but more respectful friends. And even maybe peripheral friends, right? So, you know, there's the inner circle and the outer circle. If you and your inner circle are hanging out, but there's people from your outer circle there, you know, what should you be censoring so that they don't feel like you're being a rude asshole?
So it's obvious they're in the out group, right?
You know? Yeah, nothing like making me feel more like an outcast.
Right. I think I would go, if I were to give suggestions.
By the way, we don't mind not being included, just so you know.
I do. No, sometimes. It depends on what it is. You know?
Right. We've gotten real good.
Fear of missing out. Remember that?
Yeah, we've gotten real good at not having FOMO when it comes to gatherings and events the last couple
FOMO
of years.
FOMO, anyway, fear of missing out, yes. Yeah. Which I thought was hysterical when you used that. I think it would come back to the elements of trust. Right. So there's that being responsible. If you say you're going to be there, be there, unless you at least communicate, you know, in advance or if it's some sort of emergency, but still constant communication. So somebody's not hanging out there because that lack of responsibility really does indicate to someone that they can't be trusted or, you know.
And if you know you're not going to show up 2 days before, for goodness sakes, say that, because then it'll save that person 2 days of preparation.
Right.
You know, don't wait till the last minute to go, oh, by the way, we're
so
not
that,
coming.
So that, you know, more regular communication or whatever, being responsible.
Right. And so I also think in terms of being responsible, it's okay for the injured party, so to speak, or the other friend who might be facing that rudeness or being taken advantage of, to also maybe set boundaries or to be able to come back and say, you know what, this is really important to me. This is the only weekend that I have this year. And I was really looking forward to it. And I've done a lot of preparation.
So the onus on the person that to explain how important this is, don't just assume that they know.
And not by way of creating guilt trip for the other person, but just being genuine
from
and
the
saying,
heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess that's one of the elements of trust is to be authentic, right?
Right.
And speak from the heart.
Absolutely.
And so that's another good one.
Exactly.
What are the other elements
of trust? What other suggestions? Well, and then we talked about, you know, if you know that somebody is kind of on the periphery or more in the out group, you know, if you're comfortable with it, you be the one to make the effort of being inclusive and maybe including them. Or if you see somebody standing, you know, separate from everybody else, and feel free to engage them in conversation, you know, maybe make a little bit more effort there. And then, you know, also be the one maybe to step up and shut down conversations where you're being exclusive and excluding other people that
from the planning of your next great get together or whatever.
Especially
it is.
If you're not planning on inviting them, then, you know, shut the F up.
Right.
Censor yourselves.
Yeah. You know, I love that saying, people may or may not remember what you do, but they will always remember how you made them feel.
Yeah.
And that's the element of care is, you know, to really, if you care about this person as your friend, then show it, then behave that way.
Right. And I think that comes back to, you know, that whole leading with kindness thing. And, you know, I understand that the whole idea of, you know, being kind has become somewhat of a cliche, but it's really not a cliche.
Right.
I mean, lead with kindness, lead with compassion, lead with empathy and understanding, lead with emotional intelligence, folks.
Right. And you know what? I'm going to add one more thing to this. You know, if you use sarcasm as your love language and you think that being funny is your way of being included or your way of connecting, well, it's one thing to be funny just because you're funny, but it's another thing if you're using sarcasm and it's degrading towards somebody. Doesn't matter who it is. If you're using that defacing sarcasm, it's not funny.
Right.
And it doesn't make it so that other people want to be your friend, or that, you know, you're, if you think you're trying, you know, you're getting on the in group by using biting sarcasm, you're not.
Yeah. In other words, don't be a mean girl.
Don't be a mean girl.
Don't be a mean girl and pick on somebody else to make yourself feel better or look better in the eyes of everybody else.
Yeah.
And sometimes people do it so subtly. And quite honestly, I think people do it completely subconsciously too, right? Like they have no idea.
They just cut somebody off right at the knees and insulted them, and whether they're there or not.
Right.
And other people in the room are going, what?
Yeah, because if you go back to one of our very early podcasts on Real Colors, one of the colors, which is blue,
can pick up.
They feel the emotion so deeply, and it truly is. It's painful for them to experience, you know, other people seeing that. And then, in terms of respectful behaviors, I think the other thing is, don't always expect that the person who's good at all this stuff, like the planning and the party preparation and the cooking and the decorations, don't always expect that that person is going to want to be in charge of all those things every time.
And offer to help. What can I bring? Knowing that they're going to go all out of their way to make it a great experience, to say, what else can I bring? And they're going to say nothing and say, no, I really like to contribute. I'm going to bring something. What can I do?
And in that case, then the friend who should be able to say at that point, okay, I understand that's important to you. Feel free to bring something in. Instead of saying, no, that's okay, you don't have to bring anything. Here's the other thing I'm
going to say. It's okay to say to bring something.
There are a lot of times where we've seen this person step up and do all this stuff because she's been asked to do it. And rarely do people offer to financially compensate her for the cash outlay.
Oh, that's interesting.
That she had, you know, the money that she spends in creating some of these things for people.
Yeah.
Is exorbitant sometimes. And I think it's super important that people recognize that it's okay to offer to, and again, you know, she's going to have to be okay with sometimes saying, you know, I'd be okay if you chipped in with this. And we know that that's not her, her MO. Like she's definitely the person who goes, no, I got it. Don't worry about it. But you should still always offer. If she chooses not to accept that, that's on her. But it's okay to say.
Well, I mean, because you and I, we talked about this when we used to go boating.
Right.
How many times did we have people over and we'd drag them around the lake all day on the tubes?
Hours.
And you know what? Kids don't get tired tubing. But I tell you, the gas tank does.
Right.
And you know, it used to be, you know, I don't know what it is.
Well,
now,
back in premium, back in Denver, we had to fill the boat with premium gas, and I think back then it was $4 a gallon at least.
Right. Yeah. It was a 35 gallon tank. I mean, and so, you know, we're dumping $100-$150 into this to dry. And they're like, hey, you know, thanks for the great afternoon.
See you later.
You know, not even a gesture of, hey, can I give you $20 for gas? You
I brought a six pack. I drank three.
Yeah. See ya. And can I take the other three with me when I leave? You're not going to drink these.
And it's like, wow. And honestly, you know. I mean, we always knew that, I mean, here's the thing. We never expected people to do that, but when they did, it was always a pleasant surprise. And we were always like, if somebody offered us $20 for gas, we were like, thank you, we appreciate that. And you know,
usually if it was gas for the boat, I would say, yes, I appreciate that, thank you.
Now we would provide food and beverages and everything else, and sometimes alcohol and things like that. And again, all part of the deal. It was our, you know, it was our kind of contribution. But yeah, if somebody offered us $20 for gas, we took it. And so that's what I'm saying too. If you know that, especially if you've asked somebody to do this kind of stuff for you, like creating decorations for your wedding or creating decorations for your Christmas tree or things like that, or decorating your Christmas tree, then, you know, it's on you to insist that they allow you to help financially with that, especially when it's somebody who
is a very giving
and kind and generous person. And this person we're talking about today is generous to a fault. She's just willing to basically give you the shirt off of her back and, you know, wash it and iron it and everything else for you.
She is that good of a person too.
Exactly.
And that's why we call her one of our firefly friends.
She is. She's our firefly friend.
But nobody has to die.
Nobody's got to die.
Yeah.
Nobody's dying in this episode.
Yeah.
And or so, any episode.
Yeah. Unspoken expectations are predetermined resentments.
I'll say that again. Unspoken expectations are predetermined resentments.
And let's end on that note. That's a beautiful day.
That's the biggest piece of advice for sure in this case. So if you expect something, say so.
All right. Have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Cece and Doc Talk. We'd love for you to follow us on social media at CC and Doc. That's CCNDOC. And you can visit our website at ccanddoc.com. We also take monthly donations to support this broadcast if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and questions, and we'll do our best to respond. Thanks, and have a fantabulous day.